This is Jay Sekulow, the president showing American leadership in NATO, in Europe, and next stop Helsinki with a meeting with Vladimir Putin.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
During the summit, I made clear all NATO allies must honor their obligations. And I'm pleased to report that we have received substantial commitments from members to increase their defense spending and to do so much more timely.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I'm pleased to welcome the President of the United States to Chequers today on his first official visit to the United Kingdom. No two countries do more together than ours to keep their people safe and prosperous. And we want to deepen that cooperation even further to meet the shared challenges we face now and in the years ahead.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. A lot happening. Let me say this, that President Trump is, I think, doing the exact opposite of what President Obama did when he did the what was called the apology tour. The president not only engaging in American leadership abroad, but it's also getting results. President Trump on Thursday said that the U.S. remains committed to NATO after the summit meeting. The United States' commitment to NATO is very strong, remains very strong, he said, and that it's now being reported that NATO allies will substantially up their defense spending after the summit meeting. So I think if the message to be sent to our European allies was you need to rise to the occasion, you need to be part of the solution and helping NATO get on a sure footing, that message was clearly received then. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Yeah, there's been a 180-degree shift in U.S. posture around the world, Jay, and I think the world has become accustomed to apology tours, so to speak. They've been accustomed to the United States president coming to them and essentially asking what they needed. Now they have a president that is coming and insisting on American priorities first. And, Jay, it's not an unfair demand. It's basically just asking the rest of the world to pull their load when it comes to NATO membership. We saw it with the conversation, and I really had to chuckle when you saw that conversation between President Trump and the Secretary General of NATO, where the Secretary General was clearly expecting what these things normally are, just, you know, an exchange of canned statements. And twice the president interrupted him and insisted on the obligations of NATO membership being fulfilled. So, Jay, it's a 180-degree shift. I think the world is trying to adjust and acclimate to it. But guess what? You're seeing respect because the payments of NATO allies are starting to increase, and you're seeing the plans for getting up to full obligation start to roll in.
Here's what the president said. This is number 32.
Yesterday, I let them know that I was extremely unhappy with what was happening, and they have substantially upped their commitment. Yeah. And now we're very happy and have a very, very powerful, very, very strong NATO, much stronger than it was 2 days ago.
So I think, look, the president is projecting, which is fact, that American leadership means something and that obligations mean something and that we don't carry all obligations for the world. Now, the meetings there went well. I thought the meetings with Theresa May took place yesterday and this morning seemed well, especially as it relates to issues of trade. They've got, there's a lot of turmoil in the United Kingdom right now regarding Boris Johnson, the foreign secretary, pulling out of the government. What does that mean for the stability of Theresa May's premiership? We'll see. And then the president is off to Helsinki. And that is a big, big meeting because it's with Vladimir Putin. So there is a lot to discuss, and we want your reaction to American leadership being put on the world stage the way the president's done it so far. What do you think? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Your reaction to President Trump's leadership initiative in Europe with NATO, now in the UK with, of course, with Theresa May, meeting with the Queen of England, and also then up to Helsinki and a meeting with Vladimir Putin. Your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll also talk about Brett Kavanaugh's nomination, get you an update on where all that is. We'll take your comments as well. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget also our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. It's a Friday, so we'll take calls on a variety of topics as we discuss a variety of topics. If you want to be part of the conversation, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, the president right now is meeting with the Queen of England. They're showing the troops, and they'll get into a discussion. She is the they have the constitutional monarchy there, so it's a little bit different than in the old days of the Queen's role in one sense is ceremonial, but in another sense, she's the constant. When you have prime ministers coming and going, she is the constant. The president is in England, then we'll head up to Helsinki for a meeting with Vladimir Putin on Monday, another important meeting. Also, NATO is reporting that they will substantially up their defense spending after the summit meeting. This, I think, was exactly what the president wanted to achieve, and it looks like he achieved it. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I do want to give also an update on Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation before we get in. And we'll take calls on all of these topics. Fan, let's get we just shared with our Facebook and Periscope offense, but let's looks like right now that Collins and Murkowski are going to be yes votes. Looks like Joe Manchin's going to be a yes vote. So that puts us over the top already. There's some spending going on by NARAL and others, though, in those areas.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're talking about whether or not Brett Kavanaugh is going to be confirmed, Jay, I think we've already crossed that threshold. You mentioned Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. They had very positive things to say inside a Republican conference meeting yesterday. All indications are that their vote is yes. Of course, John McCain's tweet early on in the days of this nomination suggests that his vote is a yes as well, if he can get to Washington, D.C. I think you're right about Joe Manchin, who gave a quote that said that he has all of the right qualities to be a justice on the Supreme Court. And yes, NARAL, of course, is buying very large media ads in some of these swing states, as well as in Maine and Alaska, trying to target Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. But Jay, the way I look at it, I think you've got the 51 votes in your pocket already, even before these hearings get underway. And ultimately, at the end of the day, come mid to late September, I think you're going to see a confirmation in the mid to upper 50s with some pretty serious Democrat support. So things are really on the right track for Brett Kavanaugh.
Which is a big margin in this day and time. And as I said, we just filed a new case at the Supreme Court of the United States involving academic freedom outside a major university. That case now pending before the Supreme Court. The other side will file their reply briefs, and then we will, their brief in opposition, I'm sure. We'll file a reply to that probably in August, and then it should be in the conference in what they call the mega conference, which is usually the end of September. Hopefully, Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're going right to him again. We want your view of the president's efforts in Europe with NATO, with England, and also, of course, with the Russian conference coming up on Monday. Let's go to Rod, who's calling in Los Angeles, California. Hi, Rod.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. My point is that Donald Trump is leading. He's leading like we've never seen anybody lead in this country before. Probably not even since Reagan, or for sure since not Reagan. But I think he's even better than Reagan. The problem with the Democrats are they live in crisis mode. They have to live in crisis mode to push their agenda. It's the crisis of the week. The crisis of the week this week is the NATO visit and the visit with May, and now the visit with Putin. And Brett Kavanaugh is a crisis. Healthcare.
Well, they're certainly trying to create it into a crisis. I mean, his record certainly is not crisis oriented. I think that's I agree that's not correct. But they're trying to. There's no question they're trying to make it that. I mean, that's the sense then. But it's running on empty right now. I mean, you just don't see it moving that way.
Well, Jay, there's a reason that Kamala Harris and Cory Booker are the ones that are really headlining the crisis talking points, and it's because they're scrambling for the nomination and inside the Democratic Party, playing to the base for the president. But, Jay, it doesn't play across America. If you look at North Dakota or West Virginia or Indiana or Florida, you see Senate Democrats actually saying positive things about Brett Kavanaugh. So, you know, the fringe inside the party can clamor all they want, but at the end of the day, Brett Kavanaugh is going to have the votes that he needs to be confirmed. And, Jay, I think it's going to happen without delay.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I suspect that Brett Kavanaugh will be confirmed as a justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, and he's certainly well qualified for that. Regarding the president's initiatives, let me say this, that this is projecting a very different message than President Obama when he did his initial, what was called, dubbed the apology tour. This is a very different approach, a very different type of president, and people like it, people don't like it, but look, elections have consequences. These are the consequences of foreign policy. I think it's projecting a strong image right now, and I think it's important to understand that NATO is important to the United States. We have NATO bases that give us access in the Middle East region, which are very important. Having said that, it's ridiculous that the United States is carrying the brunt of this, and I think the president was right to point out the situation with Germany and their gas line, and the billions of dollars that are going out of Germany to the Russians, who they're purportedly worried about. Maybe they should be worried about, but you know what? They're not. It's these things are inconsequential in one sense, that the aspect of the diplomacy has to also take into context what's going on really on the ground. I think what the president was saying was, you know, you're saying this about this group, this country, and then you're doing this business with this country, and how are those two jiving? And that's the situation here. All right, we're taking calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go back to the phones and take Jennifer calling from Los Angeles in California. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, good day to talk to us on a variety of topics, 1-800-684-3110. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi, Jay. I am really delighted with President Trump's diplomatic meetings with both the British Prime Minister, or the Queen, the British Prime Minister, and with the upcoming Vladimir Putin. I think I want to reiterate what your former caller said. I think he's doing an outstanding job in leading, and I'm very delighted to hear that it looks like Kavanaugh will be confirmed. So I want to thank you for your work, and I'm still praying for the release of Andrew Brunson.
Well, look, I appreciate that. I had the chance to speak with the president a few days ago on Andrew Brunson's behalf. He was meeting with Prime Minister Erdogan. I will tell you that until they're out, I don't listen. We've handled a lot of these cases, as you know, from Iran to Sudan to multiple other countries around the globe. So until they're out, they're not out. But this ties into the NATO situation. I mean, here you have Turkey's a NATO ally, and they're holding an American hostage for Christianization. But I was optimistic with the report the president gave, and we're not done until he's out. Trial date is set for July 18th. I'm hopeful that something will happen at that trial or before to end this imprisonment, which is unlawful, violating international law. But having said that, I think it's clear that we have to understand that the nature and scope of what's happening here, what's gone on, what's taken place, is significant. And what is taking place is you've got a shift coming in, I would say, if you look at it both from the courts that we're dealing with, the issues that we're dealing with, whether it's the International Criminal Court, whether it's dealing inside the international institutions within NATO, because we are at the ACLJ on behalf of Pastor Brunson, whether it's at the UN then, we're engaging all of these various international bodies seeking his release, as well as getting work from the American embassy and, of course, the State Department.
Well, we said from the very beginning, Jay, that that was our strategy. I mean, we knew that when you're dealing with a nation like Turkey that's supposed to be an ally of the United States, but that has not been behaving like that, probably the most important thing was going to be international engagement. International engagement from other trading partners of Turkey, international engagement from people that would have leverage over Turkey or at least influence with Turkey because of economic factors or whatever it may be. So we told our listeners from the very beginning that we would engage all of these avenues. And Jay, I mean, this week is a perfect example of that. As President Trump was there at the NATO summit, you saw him having one-on-one conversations with all of these leaders. And you had this conversation with CeCe Hyle on this broadcast just a couple of days ago. We engaged every one of those nations on behalf of Pastor Brunson. So all of those leaders should have been familiar with the case, would have been able to have that conversation with President Trump and also President Erdogan. And Jay, ultimately, that is the most important factor in these cases, that the President of the United States is personally engaged and making it a priority.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And look, you don't rest until these individuals are out. And we're not going to rest until Andrew Brunson's back in the United States with his family. But I encourage you to pray for his family, pray for the president, pray for Secretary Pompeo and the teams working on this. Pray for our team, too. We have to prepare for the trial. It's a sham trial, but we're preparing for it. We've got witnesses to rebut what the government's putting forward, this Christianization charge, and, you know, this is somehow espionage. That's how they look at it. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take more calls when we come back from the break. And we'll talk about a variety of topics today. We've talked about Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. We're talking about the president's leadership in Europe, in NATO, now with meeting with Vladimir Putin. What do you think should be on the agenda there when he meets with Vladimir Putin on Monday? The president's already said that he's got a whole variety of things he's going to discuss with Vladimir Putin. This would be, I think, an important meeting. The president's right now, as we're on the air live, is with the Queen of England. So there's a lot going on. We're going to discuss all these issues, and we'll take your calls. It's a Friday, so I think we can take calls on a variety of topics. If you got a question you want to ask us, go ahead and do that. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me also encourage you to give us a call, but also support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign, so ACLJ.org for that. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're going to get a matching gift for. So if you donate $50, we get $100. You know how it works. Your support makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org for your support of the American Center for Law and Justice. And don't forget, again, if you want to talk to us on air, we've got some phone lines open for you on this Friday at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And the matching challenge, easy. ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast on this Friday. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I'm in our media center. Dan Bennett's up in our offices across the street from Capitol Hill. Michelle's calling from North Carolina. She's on line three. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
It's an honor to talk with you.
Sure.
I wanted to first thank you and all of your team for all you've done through the years, not just for the people of the United States, and to just show where there's not justice, but also throughout the world. And God has really used you guys in powerful ways. And I believe, too, that God is using Donald Trump in a powerful way, and he's exactly who we thought he was going to be when we all voted for him, because he has a plan, he has a solution, he's a businessman, he understands his accountability. He wouldn't be where he is today if he didn't answer to his shareholders and his employees and his clients and everything else, and that's what he's doing as president. He's going forth and he's being the voice of the American people, and he's putting us first, and he's putting the Constitution first, and I, for one, am, I thank God every day that he's in office.
So let me ask this to Dan Bennett, following up on what Michelle said. What's the reaction so far on Capitol Hill to the president's trip so far? Which, if
well,
you were
going to
give me a read on it, what's your read?
Yeah, I mean, I think the initial read is exactly what the caller said, that this is what Donald Trump campaigned on. This is how he promised to govern. And so I don't think there's any surprise there. But, Jay, I mean, you and I have had this conversation. I do think Capitol Hill lags behind on this because they see a little bit of discomfort in Europe and other members of our allies. But here's the reality, Jay, and I think the caller referenced this. The rest of the world doesn't necessarily like to be uncomfortable. They don't necessarily like to be pushed. But I think Donald Trump went to the voters and said, look, my goal is not going to be loved by the rest of the world. It's going to be respected by the rest of the world and to reassert American leadership in the world. I think the caller's right that Donald Trump has followed through on that campaign promise. I think he's comfortable in the role. And ultimately, Jay, not only is America better off if the world respects the United States, but the rest of the world is better off as well, because a strong America is good for the rest of the world. So is Capitol Hill fully on board? I think they're getting there, Jay, but I would tell you they're still lagging behind the American voter and probably lagging behind the president as well.
You know, one of the things the president said, he was talking about yesterday, said, I let them know that I, when he was talking to NATO, I let them know I was extremely unhappy. Now I'm very happy. We have a strong NATO, much stronger than 2 days ago. Then he said, tremendous progress has been made. Everyone's agreed to substantially up their commitment. They're going to get it up to the levels that they've never thought of before. I think this is the commitment was at 2%. Ultimately, that'll be going up quite a bit higher than that. A strong NATO is good for the United States. It's good for our allies, but it's got to be equally shared. And this is what you have to have here. And I will tell you this, and this is important to understand. NATO has to meet its own obligations, too. It cannot be a one-way street. But it is important geopolitically for the United States to have ongoing relations with the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. I mean, it makes sense on multiple levels. Now, the president is going to meet with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki on Monday. That is a big trip. And it'll be very interesting to see what ends up on the agenda, what ends up being discussed. We'll see. And I expect the president said he's going to hit a whole host of issues. Russia is a, look, they're a world power. To not have a relationship or be able to sit down and talk to them does not make a lot of sense. I think that meeting is a good idea. Doesn't mean we'll agree on anything, does it? Look, we have an office in Moscow, and we fight for religious freedom there and throughout the entire country. And there are regions of the country that have been fine, and there's been regions of the country that have not been so great in Russia over the last, we've been there for, well, since 1997, two decades, 21 years. And we have a big office there, a lot of great staff, a lot of hardworking lawyers. Lawyers from around the globe end up at that office doing internships and to understand exactly the scope and nature of defending religious freedom and freedom of speech in Russia. But we're doing that. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me say this also. We're going to talk about coming back from the break. We're going to talk about the Brett Kavanaugh situation, where we actually see that playing out as that's moving forward. I mean, it is so much news going on all the time that this seems like a year ago that Brett Kavanaugh's announcement was just Monday night. So, but it's been very well received. And that is, I think it's very positive. I also think that it's important to know that as these issues of Supreme Court nominees come forward, there's going to be more and more issues addressed here. And that's just the nature of it. I mean, it's just the nature of what's going to happen when you have, you know, Supreme Court nominee Thane. It's fair to say there will be other issues that they will raise about the nominee, and just be, they have to be prepared for it. That's just the scope and nature of what it is.
There always is, Jay, and there is always a way to take innocuous information and spin it in a way that looks unflattering, and you just have to dig deeper. You have to actually look at the facts as opposed to reading the headlines. That's what we're committed to doing here at the ACLJ, and I'll run through some of these numbers in just a minute, Jay, but before I do it, I just want to express again to our listeners something that we've said very many times. Even though I'm confident that this confirmation is going to get over the line, Jay, it's going to be a fight. I mean, we are seeing huge media ad buys in swing states, so it's going to become a political process. They're going to attack Brett Kavanaugh. Look, you know, NARAL tweeted out the other day that he was some frat boy named Brett, even though his resume is about the most prestigious you've ever seen. So, Jay, even though the numbers look very good and a clear majority in the key states want their senators to vote for him, so I think they ultimately will, Jay, he's going to be dragged through the mud unnecessarily in the process. So I don't want to deceive our listeners. Look, in the weeks ahead, I promise you, the headlines about Brett Kavanaugh are going to be very unflattering, as distinguished as a career as he has had.
Well, look, I've known Brett Kavanaugh. I've said this for a long time. And I worked with him in private practice. I worked with him in other aspects of his career. We've had cases in front of him as a judge. I hope we have another case in front of him, and it's called Keister versus Bell, and that's involving free speech in the vicinity of the University of Alabama. So that case is now been filed. I'm holding in my hand for our television audience, and if you're watching on our social media platforms, the cert petition. So here it is, and that is a request for the court to hear a case. Very well done. And we have a good record of getting grants. It's very difficult to get a grant. I think this year they only took 70 cases. So they summary reversed a couple of those were ours, which was great. All right, here's what we're going to do coming up in the second half hour. I'm going to open up the phone lines, and we're going to talk to any topic you want to talk about that I want to answer. We'll let you talk about. So how about that? We haven't done that in a long time. My gosh, we haven't done that in a long time. So 1-800-684-3110 if you want to do that, any topic. And I will tell you this also, for those that get on air, we're going to send you our book, Jerusalem. This book has been on a number of Amazon's bestseller lists. I don't know what bestsellers list it might be on now, but it's done very well. It's in bookstores around the country as well. But it's the biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. I figure on this Friday we'll give a gift. But those of you that get on the air with a comment or a question, we're going to send you our book, Jerusalem. If you don't have it, you can get it at Amazon. But as I said, we're very pleased with the way the book did. So we'll take your calls and comments when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. It can be on this topic, it can be on other topics, and we will take those calls. Also, let me tell you this. We're in a matching challenge campaign at the ACLJ, and we are in day 12, 13 of it right now and doing great. But your support for that really makes a big difference. So I'd encourage you to support. If you enjoy this broadcast, if you enjoy the work we do around the globe, then support the work of the ACLJ. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. It's that straightforward. So if you donate $10, we get $20. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We come back from the break. We're going to take your calls on the topics you want to talk about. So we're going to open those phone lines. They're jammed right now. But I will tell you, this is what will happen. We will go through them, and they will not be as jammed in a few moments because that's just the nature of the way it works. Cindy on Facebook says, I think Coach K is the right man for the job at SCOTUS. That's Coach Kavanaugh because he coaches his girls' basketball teams. They call him Coach K. I got a nice letter from a guy. Somebody I coached 30 years ago. He's now a medical doctor. He called me Coach J in the email. I really like that. All right, we're taking a break. We'll have your calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. The president says NATO will substantially up their defense spending after the summit. That's good. The president was with Theresa May today talking about trade. Also good. Monday, he goes to Helsinki for a meeting with Vladimir Putin to talk about relations with Russia. In my view, also good. Very important. And the president has been making some very explicit statements. I think they've been very good. On the NATO press conference, this is what the president said. This is number one.
For years, presidents have been coming to these meetings and talked about the expense, the tremendous expense for the United States, and tremendous progress has been made. Everyone's agreed to substantially up their commitment. They're going to up it at levels that they've never thought of before.
Well, there you have it. And I think that's, look, getting Europe to buy in literally financially is the thing that's appropriate here. Here's what we're doing on this half hour. We haven't done this in a long time. We're going to take your calls on a variety of topics, kind of like an open line Friday. We normally don't do that, but I'm kind of in that mood today. So let's go ahead and go to Linda. And I usually don't take a call in the first segment, but we're going to do it. Linda, calling from Topeka, Kansas, on line two. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good.
Hey, I love your show.
Thanks.
I contribute every month to you, so.
Oh, we appreciate that. Thank you.
And I want to know what's going to happen with Strzok now after watching the hearings last night. So where does it go from here?
Yeah, great question. What happens next? Well, look, Peter Strzok has been removed physically from the building and has been stripped of his security clearance. That's already happened. So the next question is going to be what happens to legally. I don't know what the legal, criminality or anything like that. I mean, I haven't thought through that. I don't think that's where that's going. What it looks like to me is it's a question of will he, it's going to be the Andrew McCabe, although Andrew McCabe ended up getting a criminal referral over to the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C. What's your sense, and Fan, what are you hearing?
Jay, I think ultimately he's going to be fired. I really do, and I think that's more important than any criminal proceedings. He's already been referred to the FBI Office of Professional Responsibility for what the IG found to be a state of mind that it was indicative of bias. But Jay, you know, I don't think that Peter Strzok probably is looking to me for advice, but if he were, I might tell him to get out ahead of this because, look, we know that the Inspector General is coming out with another report on an investigation into the Russian matter, and we know that he already went out of his way in his previous report to say that there were a number of agents, Peter Strzok being one of them, who showed bias mainly in that Russia interview. That investigation, Jay, that report is still coming down. If that report comes out and Peter Strzok is still employed, I think that would probably be the impetus for his ouster. If I were him, I might get out ahead of that. And frankly, I think his removal from the FBI, Jay, I really think that's more important than any criminal prosecution because as of now, he testified to this yesterday. He still has that top secret clearance. To me, that's alarming for somebody that demonstrated this lack of professional demeanor, we'll say.
Let me tell you the pressing question that's coming in on Facebook and Periscope right now, and it is a pressing question. Jay, what did you coach? So those some of you were talking about this. Coach K is Coach Kavanaugh, so I was Coach Jay. And actually, I said I got a letter from a really nice letter from a former kid that was on my team. He's now an anesthesiologist in outside of Atlanta, and he wrote me a really nice note a couple months back, and it was Coach Jay. So to answer those questions that are coming in record numbers, I see I coached basketball and soccer, and it was indoor soccer for some of it, both outdoor and indoor, but baseball, even t-ball. So there you go. I look forward to doing that for my grandkids. It's part of my being a grandparent. All right, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We got music coming up, Will? What do we got coming up? Oh, not music on this one. A little substance video. Not that the music's not substance. We'll take a look at those when we come back from the break. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, we are in our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift. We got some good calls coming in. People are talking about Peter Strzok. People are talking about the trip overseas. So we got a lot to talk about. We'll take those calls at 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. And again, don't forget our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
I gotta love that song. I'm telling you, that is one of my all-time favorites. That is Ricky Skaggs playing that, tearing up that mandolin on the great Marshall Tucker tune, Can't You See, performed with JSB, our band. And boy, I'm play that during the next break, especially if we get that part of it. I don't know if they have it edited that way, but if not, maybe we'll play the whole thing as a little gift there. We are taking your calls. It's an open line Friday, which we normally don't do, but I'm glad we are doing it. So we're going to go to Mark, who's calling from Indianapolis, Indiana. Mark, you're on the air.
I was just wondering, with all this going on, Peter Strzok, why is he still on the FBI's payroll?
I wish I had a good answer for you on that, Mark, and I'll tell you what the answer is. You firing these guys and gals is not an easy task the way it's set up. And it took action to remove Andrew McCabe. That took place. But you look at this, Stan, this is the great frustration of moving these people out. I mean, Lois Lerner pled the fifth. She had the right to do it. She kept her retirement. She was involved in the targeting as one of the leaders of that whole campaign of targeting the conservative groups. We beat them in court. But at the end of the day, in organizations like the American Center for Law and Justice, we don't get to bring lawsuits to fire employees. We can bring charges, civil suits on constitutional action or statutory violations. We do that, and we were successful in the IRS cases. But any kind of disciplinary action or termination, that has to come from the agency itself. Dan, is there any sense of where that goes?
Well, the truth is, it's just very frustrating. It takes a long time, Jay. I mean, there is a couple of good news here. I mean, on the Lois Lerner point, eventually she lost her job, and we have seen people lose their job inside the DOJ and FBI over this. But, Jay, again, I mean, I think it's important. A lot of this gets lost in the vacuum sometime, right? But we've got to reset this for our listeners. The FBI has more awesome powers than any other agency inside the United States government, and Peter Strzok was at the upper echelons of that. So he literally had in his hands, with just a couple other people he had to coordinate with, the power to surveil U.S. citizens. He abused that power, Jay, and the Inspector General found that. He found that he was willing to use his official position to take action. That in and of itself is a fireable offense, and Jay, I really do believe he's ultimately going to be filed. I think his employee file is probably being noted as we speak, but again, I think the maybe the mile marker at which he will finally leave the Bureau will be when that next Inspector General point comes out. I think if he wants to save himself a little trouble, he could probably voluntarily leave. But, Jay, every indication yesterday when he was before the committee, he was hostile to that idea. He was resistant to that idea. I think he's fighting to save his pension. I don't suspect he will go easily. I think he'll have to be forced out.
I think that's probably absolutely correct. All right, we're going right back to the phones. I said we're going to do this 1-800-684-3110. Diana is calling on line 6 from Arizona. Diana, welcome to the broadcast. You're on.
Hi.
Hey.
I just first of all wanted to say how thrilled I am that Gorsuch was nominated by appointed by Trump, because he has experience with tribal law here in the United States, and because most positions within the federal government and state and everything are elected, those get cycled through. And
yeah, but his circuit, you're right, Gorsuch's circuit handled a lot of those. You know, it'd be interesting. I don't know this for sure, Diana. But Brett Kavanaugh served on the D.C. circuit, which also heard a lot of regulatory issues. And I don't know if the Bureau of Indian Affairs issues would have gone to the D.C. circuit. Be interesting to know. But go ahead with your comments. Sorry.
No, that's encouraging to me, and I hope they were, because we focus so much on what's happening outside of the United States and, you know, these other issues, that it would be really great to have advocates in all levels of the government trying to break some of the strongholds that have crippled the people who are living on reservations here in the United States. So well, I don't know. I just didn't know if you had any representation, if you had any offices on a reservation or had tried any cases.
No, I haven't, but I will tell you this. It was one of my interests my wife Pam and I talk about this, has been this whole issue the Bureau of Indian Affairs, how that operates because of the sovereignty issues within the various Indian nations that we have in the United States, how all that works is a fascinating and complex area of law. And then we have a friend of our family's daughter is one of the lawyers for the Cherokee tribe in North Carolina. So she gets to handle a lot of very interesting cases. It's always been, I once said that if I ever do that, that I wouldn't mind volunteering on one of those reservations on legal advice. I'd have to come up to speed a lot more than I am right now, but I've always been interested in that and been fascinated to study that during the course of my legal career. I've talked about it, actually, in some lectures. Appreciate the call. All right, we said it was on anything, and Will, that was on anything. All right, 1-800-684-3110. Barbara, you're on the air from New Mexico. Hey, Barbara.
Hi, y'all. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for championing our cause there in Washington. It's such a blessing. My comment is that during the Obama administration, it seems that Eric Holder was almost as prominent in the news and activity as was Obama. And I just wonder where the DOJ is, particularly, I guess, specifically in Elisa Page ignoring the subpoena to appear before Congress.
Well, she's appearing right now. I mean, lawyers worked it out. Look, Elise Page is a lawyer. She had a lawyer. She has a lawyer. That's what lawyers do. You negotiate these things out. I'm not going to get into commentary about that other than saying she had the right to get a counsel, and her counsel negotiated out whatever arrangement she could negotiate out. That's what lawyers, that's what we do as lawyers. So that's not an unusual thing. She's testifying, I believe. Will, I'm talking to our producer here. Is it right now?
Right now.
Yeah, 1:30 Eastern. So if you're hearing this tape delayed, her testimony's already gone on. It's a private hearing, though, right, Dan?
Yeah, it's behind closed doors today, Jay, but they do have an agreement to also meet again later, and I know a public hearing is still a request of the committees, and you know, given the fact that they use the tools at their disposal to initiate this hearing, I think eventually we'll get her in public to testify.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. All right, let's go to Alan, calling from Arkansas on line one.
Yes, I was wondering, how rigorous is the questioning for nominee Kavanaugh?
How rigorous will the questioning be? Very.
Yeah.
I mean, the days of 97-0, which I think Scalia was and Justice Ginsburg, those days are over. So it's going to be rigorous, but this is a guy that understands how to be a lawyer and how to answer questions, and he'll do a great job at it, I have no doubt. But it's going to be – we're very optimistic. Where we are 4 days later, I feel very good about his nomination. Having said that, I think we'd be naive to think that this is not going to be a – we're going to have to be prepared, and it will be rigorous.
Yeah, rigorous is probably too light of a word given the makeup of the committee, Jay. I mean, if you look at the top three Democrats, two of them are Dianne Feinstein and Dick Durbin, you know, famous for the religion attacks over in hearings for Amy Barrett just a couple of months ago. But, Jay, then you look at the bottom of the dais, sort of the junior level of the Democrat side of the aisle, and you have both Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, who have already indicated that they're going to go on very personal lines of questioning during these hearings. So the questions are going to be rigorous. The hearing is going to be rigorous. But here's what I want people to understand. The tone of that hearing, Jay, is not going to be indicative of the final tally when the full Senate votes near the end of September. I think if you watch the hearing, you will think that it's going to be Republicans versus Democrats in the final tally. But the truth is, I think it's going to be upper 50s and several Democrats are going to come his way. And the reason for that is when you nominate an originalist, someone who has a track record of following the Constitution as opposed to being an activist, the American people like that nominee, Jay, and we're seeing that in all of the polling. So come the end of September, even though the hearings are going to be rigorous, I don't think the tally is going to be that close.
JoJo on Facebook writes, will the bureaucracy try and cover for not firing Strzok by saying he no longer works here due to suspension? Well, that raises exactly what he was in the human resources. He was reassigned to human resources for months and months and months. And then he was escorted out of the building 2 weeks ago today, is my understanding. That it was 2 weeks ago today, Than, that he was removed from the building. But he's still an employee of the agency.
Yeah, all of that's right. And he was actually pressed on this point yesterday, Jay, specifically to whether or not he'd been stripped of his top secret clearance. And he testified that he had not been. Now, is he getting access to information? Does he still have login credentials? We don't know all of that. But, Jay, just the fact that he possesses that top secret clearance as well, and if the FBI decided to reinstate him, they could do so. That's very troubling to me. When you have abused a power as sacred as the one that he had in the fashion that he did, it is time for you to no longer be an employee of the FBI. So, Jay, just for me personally, I won't feel satisfied, and it's not a level of personal satisfaction. It's a matter of the national security of the United States. I won't be satisfied that this issue is closed until he doesn't have that security clearance, until he's no longer an employee altogether. Just being out of the building, Jay, that's not enough.
I'm with Than on that. All right, so we're coming to the last segment of the broadcast, and I would normally say we'll take your calls on a variety of topics, but you know we're doing that today for you. Because it's a Friday, and we decided we're going to do that. All right, so we'll take some calls. I think we have some music coming up. That's going to be the plan on this Friday. Why not? 1-800-684-3110. If you like the tune, if you're watching on Facebook or Periscope, let us know, and we'll play you the whole tune at the end of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. Delia on Facebook says, what happens if a nominee for the Supreme Court is rejected by the Senate? The president nominates somebody else? Not going to happen on this one, though. I will tell you that. I don't know what they call borking of this guy. He's going to be confirmed, no doubt in my mind. The question will be, it will be 55 votes, will be 57. He will be sitting on the Supreme Court the first Monday in October. All right, don't forget our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. For that, ACLJ.org. And any amount you donate there, we get a matching gift for. So we're coming to the last segment. Take your calls at 800-684-3110. Try to get in on the conversation early. Lines are jammed now, but they'll open up. And this way we can get you in the queue, as they say. 1-800-684-3110. Excited to say that because he's meeting the Queen.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to JR in North Carolina on line 5. Hi, JR.
Jay, I appreciate your time here.
Thanks. Yeah,
very, very candidly, I'm extraordinarily frustrated because for years, Jay, myself, and many other movement conservatives have watched an endless parading of literally criminals brought before these subcommittees and hearings in front of Congress, from tax scandals to the Awad corruption case that I'm sure you're well aware of.
Yeah.
And we've got Peter Strzok. Jay, bottom line is this. The average lunchbox Joe wants to know, when are people really going to jail? Because
well, you got, you know, listen, you throw out the jail term, you got to understand something. I appreciate the call, JR. But there's got to be evidence of criminality. Everybody's presumed as innocent before being proven guilty. And there's got to be allegations of criminal wrongdoing. And then there has to be an investigation. That's what's taking place on the Andrew McCabe matter. But on the that's up to the individual U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI. Private organizations, the ACLJ and others, we don't get to initiate criminal cases. Now, there was a criminal referral that came out of the FBI scandal, and that was the criminal referral as it relates to Andy McCabe then. That's the only one so far.
That's the only one so far, Jay. There has been some indication that there might be contempt of Congress proceedings initiated, which can end up in criminality. But, Jay, I've said this time and time again, but I really do feel this. I'm much more concerned about the fact that Peter Strzok and others who were in his position that had power to surveil U.S. citizens no longer have that power. Let's start there. I understand JR's frustration. I'm with him. But, look, I don't want these people who have abused the power to retain that power anymore. And, Jay, you said that private entities can't bring a criminal suit. Well, Congress, I'm frustrated with them at sometimes too, but they also can't fire bureaucrats. You have to turn your attention
right
to the DOJ and to the FBI for that. And I sure hope the employee file of Peter Strzok is being filled. And I sure hope his exit is going to be upon us. If it's not, Jay, I'm with JR. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you got to show criminal liability. You've got to prove criminal culpability. To prove criminal culpability, you have to have evidence beyond a reasonable doubt to go to a jury to get a conviction. So I don't want to accuse people of criminal conduct. I will say that their conduct was wrong. I think it was inappropriate for that person to be the investigator. Having said all of that, it may be frustrating to people. It's just not what we can do as a private organization. You don't have that kind of authority. Donna's calling from California. She's on line one. Hi.
Hi. I am so glad you're doing this today. My question is, I feel like a couple of months ago, I saw President Trump signing maybe an executive order regarding being able to fire employees more easily. Is that the case?
Well, it's yes, but it's not that simple. It's there's a whole there are unions. There are federal employee unions that you have to deal with. It's not that simple to change the civil service system. It is being worked on. They're doing what they can through executive order, but you can't change everything that way. So there's a process in place. What we've done is brought these lawsuits to hold people accountable and get the policy changed that was being implemented. And we've been able to be very successful in that. In the IRS case, we had a complete success. So you could do it, but you got to understand what you're going after. All right, this is we're taking all kinds of questions. Friday, line four, Kathy, Sacramento, California. A lot of California today. Go ahead, Kathy. You're on the air.
Hi there. My question is about the Supreme Court. They can only hear so many cases a year.
Yep.
So say a good case comes before them, but they don't really have time. What happens then? Do they?
That's it. That's in other words, if a good case comes before them, let me walk you through it. So I'm holding in my hand. You can't see this, Kathy, unless you're watching on Facebook. So Kathy, are you on Facebook? Or you're listening on radio.
Facebook.
Okay, so you can see it. So I am holding up right now a petition for certiorari. We could put a screenshot of it. Do we have a screenshot so people can really see it? I don't know if we have it. Anyway, so this is the bound document that we filed with the Supreme Court of the United States that is a petition for writ of certiorari, and it is a request for the court to hear the case. And what we argued in this case is that, I will read it to you. Does a president, this is, except in the unique setting of a military installation, this court has never held that a public sidewalk running alongside a public street was anything but a traditional public forum for free speech. Here, the 11th Circuit reached a contrary result. The questions presented, you lay out the questions for the court. Does the presence of adjacent college campus buildings negate the First Amendment public forum status of a sidewalk running along a public street? Did the 11th Circuit err by holding that a virtual ban on leafleting and street evangelism on a public sidewalk is not likely to violate the First Amendment right to freedom of speech? In other words, do you have academic freedom inside the campus? Well, that's one thing. But what about on the public streets and sidewalks outside, which used to be the quintessential public forum? Now you filed this with the court. You asked them to hear it. You need 5 votes to win, but only 4 votes for the case to be heard. So we're hopeful that we'll get 4 justices that say they want to take this case. If they do, we'll know probably in early October. And then the briefing schedule, if they grant the petition for certiorari, briefs will be due by the probably the winter, and probably argue it in January. Should be a lot of fun. Be good for my grandkids to see. I would like that. But we'll see what happens. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go to Texas. Rose is on line 5. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
Listen, I was just wondering, if Strzok gets fired or removed from office, what happens with all that evidence that he collected? Will that get thrown out?
There you go, the $64 million question. I've been thinking about that one myself. We call it in the law the fruit of the poisonous tree. So if you got evidence that was done in an improper way, or if they're improper motives or whatever it might be, then what happens to the evidence that was obtained? So that'll be a question that I'm not going to answer on this broadcast. I will tell you that is a question I think about, an issue I think about all the time. But it's not an answer I'm going to give you. And don't take it the wrong way. It's just not my responsibility. It would not be appropriate for me to give you the answer on that. But you raise a great question and a great issue. And I did say I would take any questions, so I got one. But I did say I'll answer when I can, but can't answer you on that one. Larry's calling from Fargo, North Dakota. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Jay. Yeah, I've listened to you for a very long time and stuff, and really appreciate everything that you and your team does and so on. I was just wondering, like, in terms of the F-35 sales and stuff,
yep,
you know, with U.S. wanting to hold that off,
yep,
until Andrew Brunson is released, where is that?
Let me go up to Than Bennett on that. Than, where are we?
It's a great question, Larry. That prohibition is a part of the National Defense Authorization Act, also known as NDAA. Both the House and the Senate have passed that piece of legislation, and they're inside what's called a conference committee right now to negotiate minor differences between the two bills. The differences in this particular language pertaining to the F-35s are not great, but they still have to resolve the differences in the entire bill. And Larry, as soon as they are able to do so, both chambers will have to vote on that legislation again and send it to the president for his signature. I can tell you that the goal for that conference committee is to have another vote in both chambers sometime in August. So you're looking at a time frame of just a few weeks from now. Hopefully that bill is wrapped up, and that requirement would prohibit the F-35s from leaving U.S. territory until Andrew Brunson is brought home. And again, it's in both chambers, both bills. It's in the conference committee. We're hopeful that in August it will be signed into law.
All right, there you have it from Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. Pray for Andrew Brunson. Trial date's July 18th, and that's where I'm looking for a release. Somewhere between now and then, or right after that, that would be great. So we're praying for that, working on that very aggressively. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org, which means any amount you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice, we're going to get a matching gift for. So if you donate $40, we get $80. $10 is $20. And we're doing great this month. Your support really makes a big difference. Let me encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. Make sure you connect on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter. I've got a page. Logan's got a page. Jordan's got a page. Stan's got a page. You can do that. We'll have a great weekend. I hope you do, too. We'll talk to you on Monday.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online aclj.org.